Okay, and we are live. I'm just double checking, make sure that we are live because I've had some fishy things going on with my streams lately. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Way of the Truth Warrior. My name is David Whitehead. I hope you are all happy and well and safe. And there we are. I do see us up on the live stream. Give me a holler in the chat to make sure you can hear us, you can see us, and we're not getting messed up by God knows what. I am here today with a fellow Canadian Truth Warrior, Jason Christoph. I've been following his Facebook, his website, the work that he's been doing for a number of years now. I'm very happy to have him here. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. He's been doing a lot of posts on his page talking about all kinds of stuff that I cover on this channel. I think him and I are going to have a great conversation here. And for those of you who do not know who Mr. Christoph is, you're about to find out. And so, Jason, thank you so much for joining me, my friend. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Absolute pleasure to be here, David. Thanks for having me on.
You have been working in a field that is dear to my heart, and that is, you know, helping people regain their personal power, personal development, helping people with self-sabotage, which is something we're going to discuss throughout this episode. And so you're in that realm of trying to empower people, give people some information about how to achieve optimal health, both psychologically, spiritually, physically. I love that kind of work. It's so necessary today. And yet you also have been looking into the dark side of things as well. You're both yin and yang, which is very, very important, where you're looking at some of the lies, the corruption, the media manipulation, the propaganda. You've even been getting into mind control and symbolism. And you've been covering what's been going on with the pharmaceutical industry for so long, with the vaccine industry. You've been getting into all the stuff going on right now with the lockdown, with the virus, with the riots. So you seem to really have your finger on the pulse of what's happening. Maybe before we get into some of these topics, you can just break down a little bit about your background. You know, what got you into the work that you're doing? And what was your evolution through, you know, waking up and then doing the work that you do now?
Well, the waking up part was really painful. I was your typical, I tell people I was your typical self-centered, self-sadistic, self-interested, self-gratifying North American meatbag. I was, you know, I attended the best university in Canada and lied my way through there, footnoting every other author because my ideas weren't good enough, citations, and playing the game. And I thought I was a really smart person for repeating the lies of the day. I got great marks. And as soon as I graduated, I opened a very successful fitness club as my first business within 6 months of graduating. And basically, I through the success of the fitness club, I discovered that I was very self-abusive, and I opened it at 24, and by the time I got to about 29 years of age, I was almost dead, because when you are programmed and you're inserted with these mind viruses that are self-abusive and you're not aware of it, when you come across money, you just load bigger bullets into the gun to blow your own head off. And by 29, I was almost dead. I could barely walk. I had this radiating hip pain that would go down my left side. I was barely mobile only at 29. I think I even took a flu shot when I was 26, trying to fit in with the rest of the conformist herd. And that was I actually phoned my lawyer. I was so sick, almost died. That's probably what had something to do with it. Really? But I had phoned my lawyer and asked them to make my will that day for my new businesses that I had opened up. But at 29, I did make a call to a Czech holistic, like a Czech practitioner. Paul, are you aware of Paul Czech?
Oh, very aware. I've had him on the show. It was, I think, a year or 2 years ago I talked to him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So I got one of his, you know, top practitioners to come down. And she was aware that I was infected with this North American mind virus, where I thought that living my life had to do with murdering myself. So what I thought was living the great life was more about participation in a death cult. And she knew I was heavily infected but because of the way they train Czech professionals down there, she was very gentle with me and started to ease me out of the mind control and eventually got me eating some real food from the earth that reinvigorated my brain and started the healing process. And then I went on to go to the Czech Institute and become a practitioner myself. But no matter what I did, no matter how intelligent I was with the nutrition advice or how well I programmed and made their exercise routines, they would never follow through. They never did. They could never accomplish their goals. It was almost like they were terrified of becoming their best. So I started to look into psychology and I started to understand that they were terrified to become their best because of certain signaling they get from the environment and because of a certain part of our brain operates called the subconscious. Your behavior is manufactured in the subconscious. They were terrified to become their best selves. And it was because their subconscious was hacked. So I started to use sort of a self-sabotage technique to have them overcome that. And then I started getting massive success where the exercise and the dietary advice wasn't even necessary at that point. And that's when I started getting a lot of invites and to go talk to people about self-sabotage, because it's not such an intruding topic. It's not like vaccines or the pharmaceutical industry or our human farmers or anything like that. You can come in and discuss hard topics under the veil of self-sabotage, and people generally accept it because they're very interested in that phrase. They know they don't really succeed. They don't know why, and they're really curious about finding the solutions for that.
That's incredible. So you have, you've had your own experiences. It culminated into you reaching out, trying to find different solutions. You found the Czech Institute. They probably sent you down a million rabbit holes, just like they did me when I got in touch with them. And of course, this is an ongoing study. And you must have gotten to that point where you're doing all this work. You're seeing just how many people have been damaged by this on many different levels. And then you start asking the question, well, why is it so hard to wake people up? Why is it so hard to show them something that is in their best interest? Why do I get nothing but resistance from people when I'm trying to tell them, hey, you're sabotaging yourself. You don't have to live like this. Your depression and anxiety doesn't need to exist, or at least you can manage it. There are better solutions for your health. You can be proactive about your health. You can become successful. You can have the life that you want. And it's interesting how, isn't that what everybody's trying to aspire towards? Yet the moment you actually show them the real solutions, it's, hey, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. You're a conspiracy theorist. Have you had that experience?
Well, of course. And there's a reason. The reason they don't act logically and the reason they don't act rationally is because the subconscious mind doesn't hold that function. And the subconscious mind is in charge of 94 to 97% of our behavior. I tell people to think of the subconscious mind as sort of like this big, like a very big supercomputer that's in the basement of your house. There's a door to the basement, but it's locked. You know it's down there, but you're not allowed to see the actual gears and the workings that are going to produce your behavior for you. So how does that supercomputer get you your behavior? Well, there's little holes in the cement floor. You're on the first floor. There's little holes there. And all the subconscious mind does is it scans the environment at such a ferocious rate, it would baffle the mind. It scans the environment at 11 million pieces of information a second. And the part of the brain we're talking with right now, when you're listening with, can only handle about 140 pieces of information a second. And that's how interested it is. And that's how important this function is. It scans the environment, whoever's in it, and it doesn't know the difference between real life and a screen. And it's looking for, what are most people saying? What are most people doing? What are most people wearing? What's the average income? And the reason it wants to assess all this at such an accelerated rate is because it knows for you to survive, you got to fit in. And so when the person that you talked about, say, going to the medical doctor to dance this, what I call the dance of futility, the doctor's prescribing poison and the other person's there begging for the poison. How do you even produce those two kind of players? Well, it's because the subconscious mind of both has scanned the environment, and the environment has been hacked. So what they figured out is how to change the animal. If you change the animal by force, the animal usually resists. But if you change the environment, the subconscious mind will scan and pick up repetitive signals and repetitive stimuli. And the subconscious mind is like a sentinel. It stands proudly in a very bizarre sort of way and saying, my job's to fit, make sure you fit in. You're going to go along to get along. I'm going to help you mirror and mimic and emulate what I'm seeing in the environment. And all that, say this, old, maybe it's a senior that's going to the doctor to get poison so that they die early. The only reason they're going and that logic is absent or rational thought is absent is because the subconscious mind's in charge of the behavior, and all the subconscious mind was shown throughout the lifetime was that doctors know everything and the medical drugs can make you healthy. And as that person goes and gets sick, and like the person on no medication is the healthiest, the person on one medication is sick, and the person who's, you know, the most ill takes the most medication, the subconscious mind is overrun with repetitive messages through the TV screen in the government school system that basically the most repetitive message wins. That's how the subconscious mind is controlled. And that's how you can get any animal exhibiting any sort of illogical or irrational behavior. And again, the subconscious mind is, its job is to make you safe by fitting in with the herd. So if the herd's going to give you some sort of positive emotional response or positive emotional feedback, the subconscious mind gives anything associated with that behavior the big thumbs up, pushes the behavior fortune cookie up through the little hole in the floor, and all you open is the fortune cookie and you read the fortune, go to the doctor. That's as much as you participate in your own behavior. And a good example of this and how illogical the subconscious mind is and how easy it can be hacked, let's take a kamikaze pilot in World War II Japan, and say there's a very young 18-year-old Japanese male going by the square. And that's why they used to have the public squares, because they didn't have the TV at that time or the movie screen. So they'd have to do all the programming inside the public squares. So as that young, maybe 18-year-old was going by several times to get groceries during the war, everybody know what a kamikaze pilot is? I'm sure you do, right, David?
Oh, yeah.
Bonsai.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, bonsai. So the subconscious mind would always be saying, hey, look, there's a big group. There's a big herd. The person in the middle of that herd, a kamikaze pilot, is getting the rising sun, wrap around the forehead. And everybody seems to like this person. They're adorning him with positive reinforcement. And the subconscious mind goes, that's safe. That looks like a secure place to be. I want to be that guy. That part of the brain's in charge of 94 to 97% of your behavior. And that's a big problem when the subconscious mind gives the thumbs up to what's going on in the square, because it ends the life of that person. And that's what people really have to start wrapping their head around, is you can be tricked very easily to end your own life if the process to get you there is positively reinforced on a repetitive basis. And that's what's going on in the medical system. We all know it's run by certain companies that are, their mandates are to cut people's life short. And that's how you can trick people in. You adorn it and coat it with positive reinforcement. And that's the easiest way to hack the subconscious mind, because it's in charge of your safety and security. And it will always be like a heat-seeking missile toward any sort of group behavior that's positively reinforced on a repetitive basis. So I'm not too sure if I explained that correctly, but I hope that makes some sense.
No, you just dropped a major truth bomb that I hope everybody watching this really paid attention to. And I will beg you to go back and listen to it a couple times to let it sink in, because this is what I've been trying to communicate. And Jason, you did a very eloquent job. You broke it down perfectly. I totally understood it. I got nothing but cheers in the chat for you. This is something that brings me back to the work that I did analyzing different cult leaders, different political tyrants in history, and, you know, going into researching the likes of Edward Bernays and many others who really learned how to nail this down. So when you have people like Joseph Goebbels and Hitler and all these people coming out and saying, hey, make the lie big, keep repeating it, and eventually they'll believe it. You really got to understand that the sophisticated nature of how to get everybody trapped into this one mode of thinking where they're actually working against their best interest and cheering it on the entire way. As you were saying, you can actually convince somebody to literally kill themselves, whether slowly or whether, you know, you're in the Heaven's Gate cult and they told you that, hey, if you drink this, if you eat this pudding that's laced with Comet and all this other stuff, then it's going to help you zoom out of the body computer into the ninth dimension above human, and then you're going to reach enlightenment. The world has nothing to offer you. And so if you keep doing that reinforcement and you create a group out of it and you give people away team patches and you give them uniforms and you give them all of this doctrine and dogma, you can actually, it's been proven countless times again, you can literally get people to walk off the edge of a cliff. So I'm guessing that's what brings us to the subject of mind control. And when we say mind control, that brings up a lot of stuff in people's minds of, oh, these are the old spooky science sci-fi movies. It doesn't really exist. It's just in the, you know, the Doctor Who and, you know, James Bond and all that. It's not real. But the militaries around the world, the intelligence community specifically, like CIA, MI6, etc., have dumped millions and millions of dollars into studying how you tick, how your subconscious works, how your mind works, and what the triggers might be, whether external triggers or whether subconscious emotionally driven triggers that can get you to act against your best interest. So share your opinion about this whole process of mind control. You've already started to break it down, and what kind of brought you into that research.
Well, I was brought into that sort of research because everybody I would try to get in shape at my health club, they would just, if they needed to lose 50 pounds, they would lose 20. And then I would see them at Dairy Queen head first in a Dairy Queen blizzard the size of a bale of hay. And I would be wondering, what is it with these people? And, you know, I would, to hire me at that time, it was thousands of dollars up front. And then I would see, you know, some lady would drop off a couple of thousand and get really excited to start working with me. And then I'd drive by A&W and she'd be at A&W. And I didn't want to take their money, David. Like, I didn't really want to take their money. I wanted to help them become better humans, because there's no sense being the only healthy human in the town, because then there's no benefit to that. The only time we can find peace and happiness is if everybody's sort of happy and empowered. So I really dug deep into what's going on and why are they so afraid? So if you were to give an example of the subconscious mind sort of making someone overweight, well, again, it scans the environment and it looks at all the actors and all the actresses, and it looks at your friends and the people in your community, and it really will determine the average weight to be safe at. So the average weight, say 10 years ago for a female might have been 145 or 140, and now the average weight for a female might be 185. The subconscious, which is in control of our full metabolic system, can actually, you know, go in and tweak the system so that you will gain weight just so that you can fit in. And the only way to rehack the mind or rehack the subconscious mind is you have to give it sort of the stimuli that will trick that part of the mind, because it's a non-thinking part. It only reacts. It stands proudly and saying, I'm going to protect you. That's my job. And I'm going to make sure you're the average of everybody. And so if you want to be a lower weight or make more money or be healthier, you literally have to throw images through the retina that tricks that subconscious to make you believe you made a tribal migration to a different village, and then it does the rest, because that's what this part of the brain does. And this is how this sort of technology, like cybernetics, is the programming of the human mind. This type of technology can be used for good. You can throw in whatever you want on a repetitive basis. If you threw in, innovation or invention or super healthy people or super strong capability or super successful endeavors on a repetitive basis through the eyes, you would simply have everybody start mimicking, copying, and emulating that. But the people who rule us, as we know, are a different sort of faction, a different sort of cult, and they basically maintain their power by siphoning off ours. So government maintains its power by destroying ours, and it can trick us like the kamikaze pilot to say when we come home and it's a Friday night and we have 48 hours to ourselves to maybe start that business. Maybe we should have a workout. Maybe we should do a stretching routine. Maybe we should do some meditation. Maybe we should lift some weights. And what do most people do? Well, the supercomputer has already scanned that and decided that for you, because the people who rule us have littered the screens, the movie screens and the TV screens, with the images they need so that we never become our best self. And what they do is they put the wine drinkers on every single movie, every single TV show, so that when you come home, and even the act of coming home, throwing your coat over the couch and then just sitting in the chair, that's another repetitive image. And the people should really understand that that's what your subconscious is going to act out, especially if you watch mainstream media, because these repetitive images can just be flashed for tenths of seconds or hundreds of seconds. And someone even sent me a clip from Captain America. Have you seen that? It's circulating right now. It's an image of Captain America and the Corona.
Oh, the I haven't seen this bottle. Image. I just remember
you haven't seen this image?
No.
Okay, so it was Captain America's in Times Square. And this is from the Captain America. It was released in 2011. And he's, you know, standing in his, you know, his regular stance. He's going to attack someone. And in the background, which only the subconscious is going to see, is a Corona, basically a big Corona advertisement. And then on another billboard is the actual coronavirus. And that was in 2011.
No way.
And the thing about the subconscious, it has no idea what Corona is. It doesn't even know what beer is, but it works in symbols. And that's why symbology is so big, because if I could just throw the Corona beer thing, that's basically what the subconscious categorizes as a yellow something. If I can throw that image in on a repetitive basis, then it becomes normalized. And then if I can throw the Corona image into your subconscious, which again, the subconscious has no idea what that is, but if it's repetitive, it becomes something that you're supposed to accept, because if you accept what's repetitive, you're safer. You're more secure. And that part of the brain is a sentinel saying, I will make sure if there's something out there that's repetitive and sort of standing in society without being attacked, that's a safe object. And I'm going to make sure it's normalized inside your thought patterns so that you can sort of accept it to be part of the group. So we all know the Corona liquor bottle has been shown many times over the past couple of weeks because it's in a famous photo right now. And the coronavirus actual is symbol or whatever that is, the cartoon version of a coronavirus, that is littered throughout the media for the last 10 years. And so that not only indicates that they're pre-planning this, but they know exactly what they're doing. They know how the subconscious mind works. Just throw the repetitive behavior and imagery and symbols into the subconscious mind, and we will act it out, believing we're thinking when we're only reacting. I hope
you're really hitting it on the head. This is important stuff, guys, to remember that it's symbols, signs and symbols that rule the world, right? It's not words or laws. I think it was Sun Tzu or Lao Tzu, someone that said that, but either way, it's true that when you look around you and you see ancient, mystical, esoteric, and religious symbols splattered all over the media, all over the products we buy, from the car companies to the makeup companies, Revlon, you get into this, and then you get into the subliminals, and you get into the experiments, and you start to realize that what Jason is, this is not some kind of theory and spooky whatever. This is true. This is documented. And when we see this whole event unfolding, which I agree with you is pre-planned. They even did a whole event, you know, like a month before to just do an extra dry run. You know, what has been your take overall as this has gone forward, being locked down, the social distancing, the terms even, there's these terms that have been used that I think are freaking the hell out of everybody, even on a subconscious level. And it's, in my estimation, it's trying to train us to not interact and connect and unify with our fellow human beings. In fact, it seems like everything happening when it comes to the virus, the lockdown, and now even these riots is about separating, dividing, and creating fear in people. Is that your analysis, Jason?
Yeah, it's an evil force. There's no doubt about it. It's trying to separate. It's anti-human. And sometimes I'm not a religious man whatsoever. If you know my work, sometimes I'll go on a religious rant that loses me thousands of people on one rant. But the fact of the matter is, it's very easy to see that this is an evil force potentially infecting weakened and malnourished humans like Bill Gates or Dr. Fauci or things like that. But they're definitely trying to, you know, make us not have sex, make us not have community. We can't bond with each other. We can't relax and eat. It's completely anti-human. And it's easy to control us. It's easy to train us because they know all these experiments have been done in all the big American universities out of the Tavistock Institute in the UK. It's really not that complex. Mind science. It's just you got to get the images inside the people's brain and positively reinforce that somehow. Like the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. This is a good famous example where it was a movie about car theft with Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie. And it was positively reinforced, the car theft, because Nicolas Cage got the girl. He got Angelina Jolie. And when it was released in Burnaby, BC, Canada, the car theft went up 60 to 70% in the first week.
Really?
And that's just the subconscious mind seeing it was, they had to steal 100 cars. So the people making the movie know it's going to be car theft after car theft. So everybody in the crew had to go steal X, Y, and Z car. So when you get the repetitiveness of it, the people just go out, and the saying in Hollywood is what we put on the screen goes on the street. That's just the way it goes. Whatever I put on a repetitive basis, and there's so many examples like that. Let's say the Cosby effect. Have you heard of the Cosby effect?
No, go ahead. Are we talking Bill Cosby here?
Yeah, Bill Cosby, regardless of all the shenanigans he's got in, and he had that Cosby show, and he was Dr. Huxtable. His wife was Claire Huxtable. He was an African-American medical doctor. No, or was he a lawyer? And he was a medical doctor, I think, Dr. Huxtable. And his wife, Claire, was a lawyer. And during the nine-year run of the show, the African-American enrollment in medical school and law school went up 19%. And so they called that the Cosby effect. And of course, that's just anti-establishment, right? Like it's giving the people too much power. So they brought in someone like Lil Wayne, and they call that the Lil Wayne effect. And he just dropped the progression off into the abyss, which is why he was brought onto the stage to begin with. So when they go out and pick these music stars, they're like the music stars, like say Guns N' Roses, when they were signed, like they couldn't believe they were signed because they were so messy. I think they were doing cocaine on the desk when they got signed with the record executive. And they're like, we're so lucky. We must be really good. And the truth is, no, they're just putting you out there to be a repetitive image to drive the other humans back into the Stone Age and make them basically stall or slip when they're trying to climb the summit of their best life. And that's why the average person is so afraid to be their best, because the subconscious mind scans the environment and says, are you crazy? If you're better than the average, you're gonna get attacked. And if you're attacked, I'm not doing my job. You're not safe and secure. So please do the cocaine, have some toxic coffee in the morning, drink wine at night, waste your day watching Netflix, keep your head down, go work a job that's miserable, and you'll just fit in with everybody else. And the scary thing about that sort of life sentence, death sentence that most people are in right now, they keep lowering the bar every year. So they make people more sick, they die earlier, they sedate themselves more, they shop more, they're butchering themselves with all these elective surgeries. And all that stuff that looks like decisions is simply commands from the subconscious mind so that you stay mediocre and safe inside a mediocre society. The subconscious mind is what sends you to the hospital to get the poison, knowing it's poison, but happy it's poisoning you, because you won't achieve, but you'll be safe. Similar to the kamikaze pilot, you're getting tricked to kill yourself. I know it's shocking. Trust me, I know it's shocking.
It's not shocking to me, sadly enough. I mean, I've been on a very similar track of looking into this stuff as well, Jason, and I think this is so important for people to understand. I've had to learn it. I'm also still not perfect. I think we're so saturated in it's generational that this has been done. That's what people need to realize. This isn't just something that started a couple of years ago in a few places. This is actually the standard that's out there, and this influences everything. I mean, there was that old movie Network where you had that guy coming out and talking about the power of the television. You know, it has the power to break popes, prime ministers, presidents, has the power to, it's the most awesome, powerful force that the world has ever seen. That's what he was saying. Howard Beale, that was the character. And when you actually study the history of propaganda, the psychologist behind it, when you realize that a lot of these ad agencies on Madison Avenue and elsewhere have the manual on your psychology on the desk when they're writing up these ads. And some people could say, well, they're just doing it for the money. I mean, that seems to be where everybody stops. They're like, well, they're just doing it for the money. The pharmaceutical companies are just trying to sell these toxic chemicals so that they have, recurring patients for life, and it's a business model. And it's like, okay, maybe on the lower levels, but you get to a point where you go, there's many ways to make money. I mean, you teach people how to make money. There's all kinds of ways you can make money. This has to be about something a lot more than just trying to get rich, especially if it's conducted by the people that actually print the money. So what do you think about the motives here, Jason?
Oh, the motives are very simple. It's not as complex as people make it out to be. When you poison someone, it activates their fight, flight, or freeze system. And that is known as the limbic system, or it activates the reptilian brain, or it's called sometimes the R complex or the hindbrain. And that part of the brain is only on, or is only activated when you're injured. So whether you're getting in a big fight, and I know you're a martial arts expert, I'm sure you've been in fights, when you're injured, basically your lifespan is in jeopardy, and you would understand the fight or flight reaction to that. But when you poison someone, you get the same reaction. You only have one fight or flight reaction, and it turns on based on a threat to your lifespan. So when you eat poison, whether it's Doritos or medication or alcohol, or the birth control pill, or Tylenol, or Motrin, or any of these processed foods with all the pesticides on them, you get this limbic brain activation, and that means you're injured. And the great thing to our human farmers is when you're injured, you're more prone to follow the group, because you need the group, you're injured. So if I'm a wolf, and I got in a big battle, and I got a big wound on my leg, I'm pretty well useless alone. I'm not safe. I'm not secure. So if the herd says, look, you can come with us, but you got to wear a mask. you got four masks on and you're following. And so the medical system, its job is to prime the metabolism of the herd to follow the Lyria-based repetitive mind control in the media. They work together, and that's why they both start with MED, and you know about the MEDs because I learned that from Michael Tesserion.
Yes, yes.
So exactly. It's the medical and the media, you set them up, I'll knock them down. So the medical system's job, the pharmakia, which was always their job, was to infuse the human mind with poison, making it very afraid to be alone and stand for what's right. Because that part of the brain wants nothing to do with what's right. It only wants to do with what's safe. So if you got to lock yourself in your house and slather peanut butter up your ass crack to protect yourself from coronavirus, there'll be a peanut butter shortage of everybody who's chemically infused. And then there'll be another toilet paper shortage because you'll have to get it out at night. So
well done.
That's what the medical system does, is it poisons people purposely so that the media can more easily mind control them. And the mind controlled people react even very well to colors, where not many people are even aware why there's a Coke. This goes back far. They don't know why Coke is red and Pepsi is blue. The Yankees are blue. The Red Sox are red. Then you have Ford is blue and Chevy is red. The Democrats are, I think, red. I don't know blue. The American. And they're blue?
Dems are blue.
Okay, so I got it back.
Republicans are red, yeah.
Okay. In Canada, it's the Liberals are red. And the conservatives are blue.
Right.
And even in boxing, right? If you go to the Olympic Games, you got the blue versus the red. You wear the blue jersey, this guy wears the red jersey. And people don't even know why that technology exists, because they will play commercials to the color they want to win the election or win the game or win this or win that. They'll flood the entire TV audience with red, 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 red. And even they could do, like, what's Donald Trump? He's a Democrat or Republican. What is that guy?
Well, he's a Republican, but he's hated just as much by them as he is by the Dems. But continue.
Let's just say, if you ran Donald Duck movies and shows prior to an election, just the word Donald could trigger someone voting for Donald. And even in the 1990s, do you remember the beer, Bush beer? Yep. You don't see it now. And that's because the person that they used it to get elected is no longer needed to be elected.
Right.
So they would just drive the word Bush, and it was just every, if you watch the commercial of Bush beer, the word Bush in its, in its word form, or someone speaking Bush, probably happened 40 times in a commercial. And then people are wondering hypnotically why they're voting for George Bush Sr. or George Bush Jr. And it would be infused with the color of that political party. People do not know how their minds are hacked by repetitive colors, repetitive images, because the subconscious mind would just say, I'm familiar with Bush. Bush seems to be a safe word. It's commonly used in the culture. And in the subconscious mind would push up that Bush is safe, push up through the floor. You'd open the fortune cookie, Bush. That's just from watching 300 Bush beer commercials in a very short span during the election year with George Bush Sr.
Right, and there's so many ways that they can do that. Just on a technical level, Jason, I've just noticed you're breaking up a bit suddenly, and there's a bit of static coming through. I'm not sure if it's just because of the internet or the mic might be loose, the connection or something like that.
I was hearing that earlier, David.
Yeah, okay. Not sure what we can do about that, but maybe, we'll just continue. I was thinking also about the red and blue in the Masonic lodges at the top. They have what are called the red and blue degrees of masonry. and they divided it based on hierarchy and all of that. And there's a lot of this type of symbolism. If you think of red and blue, we're talking about the light spectrum. If you want to get into the concept of when we hear about the Illuminati, you know, with that word light, the idea that they're using light in a different way. They're not just using it to give you knowledge and enlightenment. They're using it to blind you and to blind your subconscious from understanding what's really going on. You know, there's a whole study there. And but we know either way, no matter what people think about the Illuminati or any of that stuff, what you're saying is documented. This is just about human beings waking up to the fact that we're vastly out of control of our thinking, out of control of our lives, and we can take that power back. This isn't to depress anybody and say, oh, you're just a puppet. I mean, you maybe you are being a puppet, but you don't have to live like that. You can actually free yourself. So what kind of work have you been doing, Jason, to help awaken people? Well, first of all, just awareness in general of this is a really big start. But what have you been doing and what kind of things do you do in your work to help people recover from this and to really see what's going on and to help take back their minds?
Well, there's two sort of solutions. There's a conscious solution. Now, the conscious solution, can you hear me okay, David?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just a little bit of static there. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe, You know what? It might even be better to just try to go to your headphone mic and pull out the other mic. You want to give that a go? I just don't want it to bust up what you're saying.
Yeah, but I was hearing it when you were talking. When we came on, I could hear it, and then it went
really
away. So
okay.
I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it could just be internet. I'll see if anybody in the chat is hearing it. If you guys just let me know if you're hearing any kind of breakup or static. We're doing the best we can here, but that's all good. Go ahead and continue. I can still hear you clear enough.
Okay. Well, the conscious solutions are very simple. So consciously, you have to know that there's a part of your brain that's really powerful that would like you very mediocre, equal to the averages in the complete society and equal to the averages on the TV. Now, the averages on the TV screen or the movie screen, they're really low. Like, what sort of behaviors are pushed through the media are extremely mediocre, to say the least. And because of that, your subconscious mind will make you afraid to be wealthier than the average. It'll make you afraid to have a lighter weight than the average. Your dreams, it'll say, look, calm down on your dreams. That's just going to get you in trouble. I'm here to protect you. Just calm down, have the wine, you know, smoke a cigarette, waste some time on the couch. Just do me a favor. Just stop being awesome because this is really dangerous. And the subconscious doesn't care how you beat yourself down. So it's like a whack-a-mole game. Your subconscious mind doesn't care if you ever got the courage to say, quit smoking, the subconscious be like, okay, quit smoking, but please eat more ice cream, just to average things out. And you hear this a lot where someone says, I don't want to quit smoking because I might gain weight. Well, there's no science that if you quit taking draws of a nicotine stick that you're going to gain weight. But the psychology behind it is, again, there's that subconscious brain doesn't want you rising up to your full potential, doesn't want you launching your hot air balloon into the air. And it says, whoa, ice cream, eat more ice cream. And then the person says, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm going to quit the ice cream. And the subconscious mind, okay, you're not smoking, not ice cream. Why don't you start drinking more wine at night? You have one glass, why don't you have four? And then you indulge in that. So conscious interference with this is you having a good chuckle at observing how creative your subconscious can be to make you mediocre. And it will pull so many rabbits out of the hat that it'll baffle your mind. So consciously you have to say, hey, I see you. I see what you're doing there with the cookies. I see what you're doing there phoning my friend who you want me to phone Jim, but Jim only eats pizza every night. I know he'll come over with a pizza. I see what you're doing there. So consciously you have to be a big observer to how clever that subconscious mind is, and it's not trying to hurt you. It's only trying to protect you. It's not your enemy. It's just really wants you to keep you at the at an equal level to the average amount of people. So, but subconsciously, we can reprogram that part of the mind because it's a reactive part of the mind. It will proudly protect you in a better tribe, but you got to get the images and the audio into the brain on a repetitive basis so that the subconscious says, hey, wow, Jason went to a different tribe. He's made some kind of tribal migration. He's in a different village. People are lighter here. They're wealthier. They speak better. They have bigger dreams. I'm not going to let him down. I'm going to make sure he fits in here too. That's my job. And you can't water that down. Like you can't watch an Anthony Robbins video, Tony Robbins, where he pumps you up about starting a business and you go back and watch Dirty Grandpa and Bad Moms, because that's going to give you the opposite imagery. And it says it takes about 21 days to trick the subconscious mind that you made a tribal migration, and then it puts all the metabolism around trying to make you fit in there. You'll stand taller, you'll speak better, you'll be more confident. And it's been shown that if you do hypnosis tapes for weight loss, where the subconscious mind believes you're in a thinner tribe, it just flushes the weight because it controls the metabolism. You don't even have to do anything. And this is how powerful the messages can be. There's something called a fake, I think it's a fake pregnancy, or sorry, a phantom pregnancy, where someone who's repeating in their mind, and the subconscious can be hacked by repetitive messages inside your own brain. So watch your inner self-talk. But someone who thinks they're pregnant, they can start gaining weight, they produce breast milk, and they can even develop the amniotic sac without the baby in it based on thought alone. Look it up. It's on mainstream medical sites, phantom pregnancy or false pregnancy. And that's just, that's the subconscious mind goes, we're pregnant. And then it starts screwing around with all the metabolism to get the pregnancy going, but you're not pregnant. And that's how powerful the subconscious is for taking repetitive images and messages into itself and doing its job, which is to make you fit in, wants to act out what those repetitive messages are and help you out the best it can. There is no enemies here. And, you know, those are the two best solutions. Laughing at your conscious mind as it tries to throw you down the stairs, get you in a car accident. You take a different way home from work and you go by the old bar you used to get cocaine at. And you're like, hey, I see what you're doing here. It's and it amazing. Will do anything it can to try and, you know, mess you up. And it's your job to say, I thank you for your service. Thank you for keeping me alive until this point. But you know what? I can be safe and secure being my best. And in that sort of, it's a natural rite of passage from a child, because that part of the brain that wants to go along, to get along, and wants to fit in and, you know, people please and be a follower, that's how we survive as children. And we're supposed to make the rite of passage to an adult where we stand proud and say, you know what, if I offend Jim, if I don't do the line of coke, if I don't do the last shooter at night, sure, some people are going to be mad at me, but you know what, I want a better life and I can handle the pressure as a bigger, capable adult. But when we're children, it's like Lord of the Flies. And that's the mimicking and copying and emulating and people pleasing and go along to get along part of the brain is 9 times more active in childhood than it is in adulthood. But what we have today is we have adults that think, talk, and behave like children because they've never made that rite of passage. And I tell this story a lot. In ancient Sparta, they used to take the kids at 14 years old, the men, drop them outside the periphery and say, you're on your own for 7 nights. Come back when you're a man who is not afraid to be different and think your own thoughts and do your own things and live your own life. Because when you're out surviving by yourself, you have to sub in what you want to do and sub out what the tribe wants you to do. And that's when the males would come back completely, graduated from this rite of passage. And they know if the men were like that, then Sparta will survive. But if you do not make that rite of passage, you have what we see today. We have, you know, the sheep, bah. We have them out there with the masks and the peanut butter and doing whatever the television tells them to do because they've never made the rite of passage. Their mimicking and emulating and mirroring function is not supposed to be that active in adulthood. And just like the Spartans knew, if you have adults that think, talk, and behave like children, Sparta will die. And that's why our society is dying right now. But then again, that's why there's a lot more awakening now. People are taking the rite of passage because the rite of passage was always done through a sort of massive fear event. So I think they've did a miscalculation here with trying to put people in this much terror, because I think it's awakened people and kind of forced out the child-based adaptations to interfacing with the world. And a lot of people are growing up and saying, you know what? I can use my voice. I can express my opinion. And this is obviously a scandemic. This is a no-demic. It's a plandemic. No one I know is dying. And we all know there's evidence that it's already a pre-planned event. And so there is hope. And if we all make this rite of passage from child to adult, I think, you know, we can save our culture and save our species and hug again and have dinner with each other again. And someone can massage me without a full body condom on, because that's what's going on.
We need more massagers that are brave enough to get out there and get the massages going once again, and so many other things. I mean, it breaks my heart, Jason, the amount of, I lost my dojo business. My martial art gym was closed permanently. So many other people that it's millions and millions of people, and people that I talk to all over are struggling and suffering because of this incredible impact as a result of trying to save all the people that are apparently dying from this virus that doesn't seem to be any more deadly than the seasonal flu. And the other thing that's really sad is that we have a massive uptick in mental health problems, where we've got suicide rates spiking. The suicide teen help, kids help phone lines are people are saying they're overloaded. I get messages all the time from people just, I don't know what to do. And you can see that people have been regressed down to that mind of a child once again, where they're vulnerable. And so, I hope that people are listening to what you're saying and are using this time, instead of hiding in the closet and wearing the full body condom, that they're in fact empowering themselves right now and taking this opportunity to do that inner shadow work that's going to really help them in the long run. And people might feel like it's hopeless to go out and solve this and stop this and prove the whole thing and wake people up. It seems hopeless, but what would you say? Do you believe that this is something that each individual needs to take on board and work on themselves? Or do you think everybody has to run around and shake everybody by the shoulders and try to slap some sense into them?
No, not at all. There, you have to go inside and make yourself healthy. And if you have to connect the yin and yang, you have to connect with your hatred for the system, because it's destroying your jobs, it's destroying your community, it wants to destroy your ability to reproduce, it wants to destroy your species, regardless of what force is behind it. That's, you got to connect that, you know, this is a tyrannical force, it's a parasite, and it has to go. And the only way, it's an energy system. Like, government literally siphons off your energy to use it for itself. So your defense is to keep your energy for yourself through health, through shutting off their TV, unplugging yourself from all their control systems, not going to your medical doctor, not asking a doctor to poison you into an early grave, because that's all part of the system. Shut off the poison. Shut off the poison that comes through the eyes with the negative role modeling like Lil Wayne, and, you know, don't get your PhD in TikToks because that's what's going on too. Like, you don't need, and don't, like, if you got a job inside the Death Star and you're working for Darth Vader and you don't really know what to do, just try to keep yourself as healthy as possible. Reject as many of the poisons as you can. Get the fluoride-free toothpaste. Don't use Teflon pans. Don't microwave your food. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take aspirin. Connect with your body if you're in pain or you're inflamed. Why are you in pain? Don't put a Band-Aid over it. Solve it on a permanent level. Don't, you know, don't hack wildly at the branches that are infected. Go down to the root level. Solve the problems there. And really start exercising, getting to bed on time, getting clean water. Don't buy $30 bottles of wine and say you can't afford $2 glass bottles of water. Invest in you removing yourself from the system so that their tentacles don't extract your energy into it. And it's an energy system that the government system exists in physical form because it sucks our energy away. If we stop giving it its our energy, there's no way it can manifest itself in reality. And so many people were walking away from the system. Like, I was a speaker at Anarcapulco this year in Mexico, and every speaker was just saying, unplug from this ugly, dark, energy-sucking system. In this fake pandemic corona hoax is designed to literally look at everybody leaving and say, where are you going? You're gonna take the poison. We're gonna make sure you have to keep your screens on you everywhere you go. So it's like an ugly octopus. They're trying to grab you and suck you back in. We're gonna send your kids to the 18-year indoctrination camp in the government schools. We're going to make you take the poison. We're going to put you in quarantine at maybe some other site where we're not going to serve you organic food. And that system is just trying to suck your life energy again. So if you just resist, you deplete the energy of the octopus. You can literally kill the force trying to kill you by simply resisting with your voice, with your body, with your finances, with your spirit, with your thoughts. We can take this system down just by starving it of our energy. And that's probably the best thing I can say to people for a solution.
That's brilliant. You know, it's like this idea of global non-compliance, like stop complying with these insane asylum, you know, warrant officers or whatever. And, you know, we're coming up close to the end here. I wanted to get your take a little bit on the pharmaceutical industry. You've broken it down a little bit here, but we're in a position now where I just read an article where Trudeau and the whole health establishment here in Canada has ordered, you know, 37 million shots of whatever the new vaccine is going to be. And they're starting to set up these clinics to try to get the coronavirus vaccine distributed as widely as possible. They're saying, well, we're not going to mandate it, but we're debating that we want to mandate it. And we might just make your life a living hell if you don't take it, but it's still not mandated, is this whole thing. And then, you know, around the world, you know, we've heard people like Bill Gates coming out and saying, well, we're not going to go back to normal until we get the vaccine. You're widely vaccinated. So could you give us a little synopsis of the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine cult, and the whole thing that's coming down with the coronavirus vaccine?
Well, vaccines, the reason they exist are very simple. They've never been proven at all to improve your immunity or make you more resistant to disease. They're developed to destroy your neurological system so that you can't make a recovery. So when I was doing my narcotics and alcohol and junk food, because it was mostly inside, you know, the digestive tract, as soon as I stopped, you could recover. Now, vaccines are a poison delivery system designed so that it permanently damages your brain and permanently damages your nervous system. So the human farmers don't have to worry about you ever sort of rebelling or cleaning up. At that point, it's almost impossible. You're going to be damaged for life. So people really have to understand. And yeah, sure, they ordered 37 million syringes, so they say. I don't believe they did. But they're trying to use the mind control again, that there's one for everybody. So it's supposed to be group-based psychology where, you know, everybody in the senior home is looking at each other going, oh, everybody's getting it. It's one for everybody. I really have a hard time believing they ordered 37 million because they already know how it's half the Canadians don't even want it. And by the time it rolls out, it will be 60% that don't want it and 40% who don't, you know, don't have a clue what's going on. And I tell people, if it ever gets crazy, it's like a bear attacking you on a campsite. You don't have to run faster than the bear. You just got to run faster than the guy next to you. So if they might get the 40%, they're not going to have enough manpower to deal with the death and the mayhem that's going to come from people injecting an RNA vaccine, never being tested, and even in the trials, it's destroying people. And it's being promoted by a guy who said that vaccines would reduce the world population by 15%. Anybody lining up for this can't have one brain cell to rub together. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen. But they're going after that sort of strata of person who's, you know, Joe and Jane coffee shop, who's never made the rite of passage. Most people who vaccinate because they're afraid not to, not because they've done any research. It's just group-based behavior. And they're like, how bad can it be? And I'm like, well, you'll probably be dead in 7 days. So that's how bad it can be. So be very careful trusting a known eugenicist and, you know, look into vaccines. They're never being designed to make you better. It's all part of the control grid. The poison-based control grid. They used to poison you with alcohol and other toxins, but then you could recover. That's the big problem. So that's what the vaccines were for. Well, we got to permanently damage them so that they'll never recover. That's what vaccines are for. And people really have to stop giving them their energy, because energy is neither created nor destroyed. So if I come in and vaccinate you and make you a crippled human, your energy is siphoned out and it goes toward the control grid. So if I drop your battery charge from 100 down to 30% and you're kind of an invalid in a wheelchair, you have to understand the energy is neither created nor destroyed. Your 70% of energy went to finance the wheelchair company, add an extra nurse on at the hospital, have a care nurse come to your house to wipe your ass. So that's where your energy goes. It's a energy siphoning system. It's ancient black magic is what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, if people think that's dramatic, I mean, just look at the evidence around you of how we live in the year 2020. I know it's kind of a car crash this year. We're hoping it picks up later on. But anyways, we're in 2020. It's supposed to be the height of scientific advancement and medical science. And yet we live in one of the worst chronic illness epidemics of all time. There's so much illness. And everybody's worried about this one little virus. Cancer kills 3,000 people a day. How's that going? And why is that so rampant? Autism is being diagnosed at a rate that is absolutely it's unbelievable. And this was never seen before. How many adults do you see walking around that are autistic, especially elderly people? There's so many other things you can look at. So when you just see that the proof is in the pudding, you know that they've never done the proper scientific studies. You can go check out icandecide.org. I've had Del Bigtree on the show. You go look at him. Go listen to the interviews of people like Dr. Judy Mikovits on London Real. Even no matter how much they try to suppress these people, go look at what they're saying and then go research it. Don't just read some article that comes up and goes, Dr. Judy Mikovits was debunked. No, she went out and absolutely throttled all of her debunkers on a recent interview. There's so many people out there. Go read Jason's posts. You've done for years these posts that are like point by point with links and studies that is crystal clear as day to help inform people about this issue.
And it's very important the government make you think that viruses make you sick, because there's only one thing that makes you sick is poison. And if you figured out poison made you sick, you're going to figure out in about 2 milliseconds who the biggest deliverer of poison is into your life, and that's government. So they really bang the viral drum. And viruses, if you look up Dr. Andrew Kaufman, and there's not one experiment that's shown that a person can make a healthy person sick. None, zero. There's no evidence other than the subconscious mind scanning Doogie Howser, MD, MASH, and all the other medical shows, ER, and there's a reason they're all on there, that when someone says you got a Google degree, most people believe viruses can jump from a sick person to a healthy person to make the healthy person sick. It's never been proven. And the only reason someone would believe that is because their subconscious mind scanned the TV and they implanted that into your mind. And if you think that's a lie, go find any experiment where they transferred a sickness from a sick person to a healthy person. And again, the government wants you so badly to believe viruses make you sick, because the only thing that makes you sick is poison. Vaccines are full of poison, fluoride's poison, Teflon's poison, birth control pill is poison. If you ever found out poison's the only thing that makes you sick and die prematurely, you're going to know right away the government is trying to, is not on your side, is not your friend. So that viral theory of disease causation is a major tenet inside the human farm, inside the system of slavery, which we all live within.
Wow. Yeah. The Dr. Andrew Kaufman interview, that's a mind trip for anybody to get into. And it's so important. And that's the thing. We sequestered and burned all the books of the people that were actually trying to warn us about this. You know, people like Wilhelm Reich, we've said this before, I've got all of his books beside me here, but you know, his books were the first to actually be sequestered and burned by the government. And he was locked away. Nikola Tesla died in prison. How many other people we haven't even heard about? There's 6,000 classified projects that have to do with free energy technology and health technology and all these different things. But remember, like, when you listen to the real people that were always trying to warn the human race about this, or even the doctors that kind of woke up and came out and said, hold on, we were doing the wrong thing. Here's the real science. Here's all the studies that I've done. Here's all the examples that I have. Those are the people that were shouted down by a very powerful, well-funded industry that is, as you said, the Meads. I mean, is it any coincidence that you were saying there's a connection between the media and the medical system? Well, is it any coincidence that 95% of the commercials you see are all sponsored by these big pharmaceutical companies? Half the television, like CNN and all these news agencies, get 60% of their funding from pharmaceutical industry. That the pharmaceutical lobby in America is the biggest lobby that exists and is even more powerful than oil and gas combined. Like, when you start realizing this, you see that who's telling you the truth? The big, powerful oligarchy that's going to beat anyone with a stick that challenges it and not actually do real science and have debates about it? Or those people that did about face, like Dr. Mendelsohn and so many others we've brought up, that have come around and said, hey, medical pharma is a cult. It's killing you. They went off the rails. They're wrong. How many times has the World Health Organization been actually wrong since the beginning of this pandemic? Provable, verifiable, indisputable, to the point where now how many countries and nations are trying to pull out and do investigations between in the World Health Organization and the Chinese CCP government, etc. So I think the people are waking up. Jason, we got to wrap it up here. What words of hope do you have? And do you think we're losing the battle, or do you think we're winning this battle?
I'm content to watch it go down any way it goes down. I've done my part, and just be healthy, because the healthy part of the brain is the prefrontal cortex. And that's the only part of the brain that can see through the mind control. So shut the fear off. Don't pollute yourself with the toxins that rain down from the top of the ruling pyramid. Start making health a priority. And when the prefrontal cortex turns on, because your limbic system is turned off, you will see everything I'm talking about. But if you're in the limbic state because you're polluted or in fear from the lamestream media and their weaponized fear buffet, you'll never get out of this, and you'll probably be lining up for the vaccine, and you'll just be following just for safety and security. And just like the kamikaze pilot, there's no safety and security injecting a needle full of poisons under your skin. I can guarantee you that. So just get healthy, resist where you can, shut off the media, remove the visual fear and remove the chemical fear. That's what I would like to leave people with.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Couldn't have added anything better to that. So we'll end on that note. Jason, this has been fantastic. Very enlightening interview. I really encourage people to check out your website, jchristoff.com. Follow you on social media. Support alternative thinkers like this as best you can. This is the new media. We're taking over. Our ratings are climbing. The mainstream media's numbers are dropping. I think we see a lot of good signs, no matter how much they try to divide us and lie to us. So join the revolution of awareness and waking up and the strive towards optimal health and freedom. Love you guys. Thank you all in the chat. I noticed there was some super chats there. Thank you so much. Very, very kind. And we'll catch you here very soon for some more Way of the Truth Warrior. Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.